Now, as we get to Joshua, I think a lot of you are excited. I know one or two of you have communicated with me and said, wow, I love it. Because Joshua, let's face it, how many of y'all remember from Sunday school? It's not a boring book, you know? You've got Rahab hiding the spies, crossing the Jordan at flood stage. You've got the march around Jericho. All these great high-energy stories that tell us about God's wonder and His greatness. Because when we look at the book of Joshua, we quickly and easily read it as a book of physical war. God brought His people into the promised land. God led them as they went. And too often, we have approached this book in a moralistic manner. And that, oh, be obedient and God will allow you to win your battles. That's not the message of Joshua. What we see is the message of Joshua, and this will develop over many, many weeks, is the story of Joshua is God giving His people their inheritance that He obtained for them. Think about it. The nation of Israel has been brought by Moses out of the land of Egypt. What did they do to accomplish that? Pretty much not much. They followed Moses as he led them. They got to the Red Sea. Oh, help us, help us, help us. What do we do? Oh, they're going to kill us. God took care of their enemy. Do what is most ludicrous and crazy in your mind. Start walking through this water. And God put the water. And then God buried their enemy. Now, they came to the promised land. And you remember the spies went out. And the spies went out. Oh, we're like grasshoppers in their eyes. God let them wander for 40 years. But now we've come to that point where God is now bringing a second servant. You'll notice how it's put there in those first couple of verses after the death of Moses. Moses was God's servant. He was the deliverer, if you will. What we're going to find in Joshua is he is the one who brings the inheritance. Do you see Jesus in there? Moses and Joshua together. They can't fully picture Jesus. You need Moses and Joshua and David and Samuel and all of the other patriarchs and the saints of the Old Testament to picture the perfect deliverer, the only one who can deliver. And we're going to look at this picture of Joshua, who is the one who delivers the inheritance to his people. And we, as God's people, can learn from the book of Joshua because we have been given an inheritance. We are fighting spiritual battles. We don't fight physical battles anymore. Whew. We don't have to go and slay the pagan. We don't have to go and slay the Gentile. But yes, we do. We take the, how does God tell us? Ephesians 6, do you remember that? Kids should remember that. We take the sword of the Spirit. We just like, as Israel goes into the land, you'll see that they're given the sword of the Spirit. They are given the sword as the only weapon to go in and conquer. And so like Israel in the book of Joshua, because of Jesus, we have been given a very great inheritance. Remember what we looked at in the book of 1 Peter, the first chapter. Peter started out in the third verse and he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, He has caused us, His people, to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Verse 4. To an, do you remember the word? Inheritance. It's the same idea that we find in the book of Joshua. Jesus has purchased for us an inheritance, and that's what Peter is helping us understand. And as Israel comes and takes their inheritance in the land, Jesus has given us our inheritance. And Peter continues in verse 4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. We get something way better than the promised land. We have been given a new life and the promise of eternal life. Our inheritance is found right here within the body now. We have a now and not yet inheritance. Part of being in the family of God is you got a foretaste of the inheritance, but it's not all there. OK, Ken, as you rightly put forth in the announcements, in the reminder that, yeah, okay, this world isn't all it's cracked up to be. We get hurricanes and other things. But we know we have a better thing coming. And as we look at the narratives of Joshua over the next couple of weeks, we will see that it is the unfolding of God's promises and proof of His unfolding plan of redemption. Remember, the Old Testament are the movie trailers for Jesus. It's a good way to look at them. We see all of these stories as just a glimpse of who Jesus is. And so all of the stories that we read in Joshua are the unfolding of God's promises to Abraham's descendants, to His people, the nation of Israel. And if you remember in the New Covenant, what are we called as the church? We're called at one point the Israel of God. And so it is for us, then these lessons are for us. And we will have to make the physical to spiritual adjustment as we move. Now let's take a look at the first couple of verses there, the first three verses. And notice that the book opens with a reference to the promises of God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses. Now there's a lot said right there. I promise this land. This is not because you're special or you're especially obedient people. Israel had already proved that fact. They were not. But God was fulfilling His promise. And so what we need to learn first and foremost is the story of Joshua, the narrative that comes forth in the book of Joshua. It's a story of God's gracious giving. A good way to put that is God gives, God's people inherit. Think about that. In your salvation, what did you bring to it? I think it was your daughter Sarah that I love the statement that she made one time that just was, wow, that was well put. The only thing I bring to my salvation is my sin. I bring squat to my salvation. Jesus is the one who's redeemed me. And so it's this idea that God gives and God's people inherit. And what God is saying to Joshua here is this is simply an unfolding of the promise I gave to Moses, which is an unfolding of the promise that I gave to Abraham. Remember Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 17? All of these unfolding covenant promises which go all the way back to Adam and Eve. And so we find this unfolding of these promises is an amazing thing. And as we look at the book of Joshua, we're going to see that we talk much more than just a simple inheritance. It is the relationship, being in the land with God, the relationship that comes as a result of that inheritance. That's what God wants for His people, that we can have a relationship with Him. And so as we see these first verses, we need to realize the book of Joshua is not about Joshua. It's about God's grace that is delivered to His people through His servant, Joshua. Yeah, Joshua is a big character. But Joshua is simply the one through whom God delivers the inheritance. Joshua is a foreshadowing of Jesus. It's interesting when you look at the Hebrew, Joshua, what do you hear? It's the same thing as Jesus in the Greek. And it's the one who delivers. And that's what we find is that's not by accident that we have this picture. Moses is the deliverer, and Joshua is the one who delivers the inheritance to His people. And that's what Jesus has done. He has accomplished it all. And so we see God's grace in the covenant with Abraham, all of the promises that I will give you a land, I will make you a nation, I will make you an everlasting inheritance of all nations. When you go back to Genesis 15, remember the promises given to Abraham. Here God is giving the temporal land to His people. But it's far bigger than that because we know the rest of the story, don't we? Does Israel obey faithfully and reside and dwell in the land? No, they get booted out of it because of their rebellion and their disobedience. And if we continue in the Old Testament, but is God's promise faithful? Absolutely, because through Israel, through this nation, who comes? Jesus Christ, the deliverer, the one who brings us our inheritance. And so we see Moses and Joshua and all of these fulfilled in Christ. And so Christ becomes the ultimate reality. And that's one of the things that makes Joshua so applicable for us as God's people. We're fighting spiritual battles every day. We could stop right now, and you could go through, and you know, as Ken said earlier, it's like, yeah, there were some nervous times during this past week. Some of you were dealing with family issues, and it's, whoa, hold it, time out. Lord, I want to get off. Some of you were dealing with health issues, and you're going, put. But God is in control. And so you have Jerichos ahead of you, because we all associate Joshua with Jericho. You have your Jerichos, but you are not commanded to physically fight those battles. You're commanded to spiritually fight those battles. And the thing that I want to remind you again and again, and this will be the message, is the battle won? It was won at Calvary. It's a done deal. You're going to see this picture again and again as Israel comes into the land. The battle is won. All Israel has to do is show up. You're going to see that in just about every single story. Is show up in faith, and God will fight for you. You barely have to lift your sword. And that will be the message that will come through again and again. And that's why it makes it so applicable to us. As we, as believers, as we fight the spiritual battle, we have to make the epical adjustment from the lessons of Joshua to today. And so we need to remember that our God has given us the inheritance, our salvation, as a gift. Our job is to simply take possession of it. Verse 3, I have given to you. It's not a, well, if you do this, then you get it. No, I have given this to you. Go in and take the land. And so the neat thing about Scripture is God, I think God gets it. We are, how does the psalmist put it? Psalm 103:14, for he knows our frame and he remembers that I'm but dust, if I make it really personal. God gets it. And so when God speaks to Joshua, I think what he's doing is he says, Joshua, I'm calling you a really important job. And you're going to be scared out of your wits at times. You're going to face battle after battle that if you put yourself in worldly terms, you're dead. And we're going to see that again and again. And what is God telling Joshua? I have given to you. God's grace and mercy is coming to Joshua because Joshua is being told this. God comes to Joshua and says, you are going to lead my people. You are going to bring them the inheritance. And here's what I want you to remember. Three times God says what? Come on, we all know it. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Because it's my work, not yours. And what do? I can guarantee you. Regular pace. Oh, Lord, I can't do this. I just don't have enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not. Remember my identity? In Joshua Jesus. Jesus has already accomplished it for me. And I need to simply walk. Be strong and courageous because Jesus has completed it. And I must walk in that. And here's the way I like to look at that. Here's the lesson for me, for you, and for me. God uses his people like Joshua to accomplish his purposes. Think about it. God is saying, Joshua, you now have the mantle. Moses, he did his job. Now, Joshua, it's your job. And I would submit to you, he is now going and he's saying, Danita, here's your job. Sandra, here's your job. Jonathan, here's your job. I'm going to use you for certain things and you have a part to play in my plan. Do you have to work it all out? No, listen to the instructions that God gave to Joshua and just simply carry forward. It's interesting because we saw that Moses was God's deliverer. That's what he declares. He has delivered God's people out of Egypt. They've been taken out of bondage. And now he says, Joshua, you are going to be the one that will cause to inherit. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38, it says this, Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he was speaking to Moses, he shall enter the land. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit the land. God already laid all this out. Moses, you're going to deliver my people out of Egypt, and now Joshua is going to take them into the land. He's going to give them the inheritance. And notice how humanly speaking, and this is a reminder, God doesn't need me that much. God used Moses and Joshua and David and Solomon and all these others to accomplish his unfolding plan, because all of these are but small pictures of Jesus, the one who does it all. And so Moses is here dignified by God. He is called the servant of the Lord. Interestingly, when you turn to the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua 24, 28. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. When you finish the book, the nation of Israel has received their inheritance. They have received the land. And after these things, Joshua, the son of Nun, and for the first time this word is used of Joshua, Joshua, the servant of the Lord, he died being 110 years old. And they buried him in his own inheritance. You see, Joshua had brought to the people what God had promised from the beginning. Joshua got it. And so we see this, and we will continue to see this again and again and again and again in the book, that God is bringing us into his inheritance, and it's a done deal. Show up, have a little faith, it's taken care of. I mean, it's that simple. And I agree with you, Ken. I laugh at that because it's like, and I just want to make it all about me. And it's all about Jesus. He's done it. And I need to walk in faith and do it. And so that brings us to this reality, that God's promises are very sure regarding his inheritance. But here's the dangerous part. And I have to say this carefully because I'm walking a fine line. We can squander those blessings when we fail to listen and to obey God. We can lose the joy of our salvation. Now, are we losing our salvation? I have not said that. I'm not suggesting you go there, okay? That is not what is being here. But too often, we're so focused on us instead of Jesus, our deliverer, that we forget that it's a done deal. And we look at our miserable, sinful response and rebellion, and we forget that it's about Jesus. You see, God bringing the people into the land was dependent upon whose promise? God Almighty, the one who brought them out of Egypt. He was going to bring them into the land. He didn't say, if you are good people, I will bring you into the land. Now, very clearly, God said, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses. You see, this is about God's character. It's not about the people's character. Now, does God want his people to walk in his ways and have his character? You betcha. But that's how we experience his blessings, how we experience his joy, instead of, as Paul would say, kicking against the goads the whole way. And the idea that is brought forth here is that I am going to vindicate my character. I love in Romans 3, where it says that he had passed over sins. I think it's 3:26, 27, 28, 29. Because he is just. And so Jesus came and he accomplished the goal. And it was to vindicate God's character, because if you will, in Romans 3, it's almost like Satan's going, yeah, but look at all these sinners that you have saved. Why haven't you paid for their sins? And he goes, it's Jesus. It's done. That's my justice. Look what has happened. That Jesus has paid the price that they could not pay. And I am a just God. I am not unjust. And that's the idea. And we're going to unpack this all through. One thing to be really careful. This book has been abused and beaten up by the health and wealth folks. They take verse 8. And they take verse 8 there. Look at it. This book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate it on day and night, so that you might be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How is that misconstrued and pulled out of context? If you're good and you're obedient, you'll get God's blessings. It's not what's being said here. God is going to take them into the land regardless, because it's about His character and His promises. That's what matters. Now, will you, as God's people, understand the joy and the excitement? No, you'll miss it. And that's the implication. You're going to miss it because you're so worried about you instead of the deliverer and what has been accomplished on your behalf. It's amazing when you begin to grasp the gospel that way. And you begin to realize, I know I'm not good enough. But God said I am because of Jesus. And that changes everything. We rewrite the whole code at that point because I'm in Jesus. It's not a license to sin. It's a license to suddenly walk in holiness because I've been set free from sin. I'm no longer in bondage in Egypt. I get to now live in the land the way God intended me to live. That's the heart of it. And so we need to realize that a secret to understanding and living a joy-filled life is to trust in the Word of God. Have faith in what He has said is true. Do you finish a week and look back on your week and go, well, I did this right. I was nice to my neighbor. I didn't yell too much at my wife. I did this or that. And that's your record? That's not the gospel, is it? The gospel is, I failed here and I failed here, but Jesus loved me, and He is my righteousness, and I am accepted in the Beloved. And that's the hope, that God has brought me into the land because Jesus has given me the inheritance. And so for us, God is bringing this message to Joshua, the deliverer of the inheritance. And He knows that Joshua is about to face some serious spiritual battles. No, Joshua was about to face some serious physical battles. This is real stuff where blood spills on the ground. They're using real swords and real chariots and real horses. Oh yeah, Israel didn't get to use them. Chariots or horses. They could only use a sword. And so we need to realize when Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging a war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. And we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that is raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So how do we fight like Joshua's day as the people of God? We take up the sword of the Spirit. Go to Ephesians 6. Look at the armor. And remember that we slay the world out there with the Word of God. We do not physically fight against them. And how many times has the Scriptures, passages like Joshua, been used to justify crusades and other areas of physical warfare? Since the time of Christ, that's done, it's kaput, it's over with. We have a spiritual battle now to fight. And our weapons are now spiritual weapons that God has intended. And so we need to hear the words of Joshua. God gives Joshua three things. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. 6, 7, 9. Let's look at those. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. What's God saying there? You can have confidence. You can be strong and courageous. Why? Because it's not about you. It's about God's character. Do you hear the message there? For you, Joshua, shall cause the people to inherit the land that I've sworn their fathers to give them. Do you believe in a sovereign God? Oh, well, most of the time. No. Remember this promise. Be strong and courageous in your spiritual battle tomorrow. Why? Because it ain't about you. It's about God's character. Do you believe that you are one of those that He has brought out of Egypt? He has delivered from bondage because of what Jesus Christ has done? Then be strong and courageous, because it's not about you, it's about God's character. He is going to bring you through. He is going to strengthen you. And it is all about His glory. This is not about Joshua. It is not about the nation of Israel. It is about God's glory. It's not about the land of Canaan. That was only a movie trailer for the real promise, the eternal promise of Jesus Christ and the inheritance that we have in that. And the whole thing from Genesis through Revelation is about spreading the glory of the Lord to all the earth. And that's what He's saying here. You're going to cause these people to inherit this land that I swore to their fathers. It's about My glory. You remember when we were looking at the basics of the gospel and we talked about creation, fall, redemption, restoration? Creation. God created it all good. He created us to have a relationship with Him. What'd the fall do? Hosed it up, didn't it? Messed it up royally. And so we're back in the old covenant with Joshua. And God's going, I'm giving you a foreshadowing of what's yet to come. Now, we get to live on this side of the cross. Amen? I am excited about that. I don't want to go to the old covenant. We get to see the completed covenant done. The cross is complete, finished. But remember, when this was first given, they're looking forward to the cross. And God is saying, I'm giving you the land because I'm God. And I have a reputation to uphold because I gave a promise that I would bless the nations. I would bring glory to My name through Abraham's descendants. And Israel needs to be in the land that I might bring this forward. Do you remember the genealogy of Jesus Christ? Who's in it? Great character from Joshua. Not exactly a lily white character. Prostitute by the name of Rahab. Whoa. You need to strike that out of the Bible, Jesus. You have a prostitute in your head? Yeah. That's how God chose to bring it. And we're going to look at that story and have a lot of fun with it. But see, this is a reality that God is bringing redemption. And it's going to come through the most unlikely person you can imagine, Rahab. But she's not one of us. It ain't about you. It's about the glory of the Lord. Get that through your thick skulls. You see, Paul writes in Romans 4:3, Abraham believed God, and he was a really good boy. No, it isn't what it says, is it? Abraham believed God, and that was counted to him as righteousness. You and I, when we remember the gospel, we believe our God. We have faith in what He has done, and what He has done through our Joshua, Jesus. Credited to us as righteousness. Never forget that message. And so what God is here is telling Joshua is, you're going to have some really serious battles ahead of you, dude. But you can be strong and courageous because you can trust in Me. Remember, you people aren't special. You're not good. You're not more skilled in warfare. You're going to be weaker than them. You're going to be fewer in number. Your skills are pathetic. But I am God, and I swore to give you this land, and you will take it. Now think about your salvation. Are any of you worthy? Can you be good enough? Not even close. And what God is telling you is be strong and courageous because Jesus has delivered you. He has given you the inheritance and you are Mine because of His work on your behalf. You have the sure word of Jesus. Don't forget it. It's about my reputation, and God is speaking there. He cares about you because He has chosen to love you, and He has placed His love upon you, and He calls you now to be strong and courageous because of His character and His work on the behalf of Jesus. And then when you come to, what is it, verse 7? Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God is telling Joshua to be strong and courageous because I gave you the guidebook, hello? I gave you my law. I gave you my word. I gave you everything you need. What he's saying is, I'm going to go with you. And I am going to give you my word, and you follow my word. Now here's the crazy part. I want you to step back to the 50,000-foot view of Joshua. Some of the things they're going to be asked to do in the book of Joshua are stupid. They are unworldly techniques of warfare. Okay? Jericho, for example. How many of you go out to a city and wander around the city while the archers pick you off? That's stupidity at its best in worldly terms. And we will see this again and again and again in the book of Joshua. What's God saying? Trust me. You have my word. The thing that gets me is when you look at Deuteronomy 17, 16, Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, it appears that God's law says you are not allowed horses or chariots. Because kings, Israelite kings, are forbidden to obtain horses. That's in the law. Whoa, 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 whoa. Horses are the best cavalry we've got. Why, a horse with a chariot on it? And you put a little few cutters in it, man, you can go swaths through armies. You cut them down. No, you're my people. You're going to do it my way, and you're not going to use the advanced techniques of today's modern warfare, speaking in those days. I mean, we could go on, and we will see this in battles to come, that Joshua is going to again and again be told, just go and fight. You'll win. Don't worry about it. And God does it. And so, the thing we need to realize is Joshua could be really discouraged. Remember, what had Joshua done 40 years prior? Remember? He was one of the 10 spies. He had seen the technology and the warfare and the skill and the size of these people. How did the spies put it? We like a grasshopper in the eyes. We don't want to go. But fortunately for Joshua and Caleb, they're like, God's with us. And God is gracious to poor Joshua. And he's going, you're going to remember those days. You're going to have those days when you see the army is black on the hills and you are going to be a few of you. And you're going to go, God, are you sure? I mean, and Joshua is being told, be strong and courageous. And the only thing you need to worry about is meditate upon me, have faith in my word, and what I tell you to do. No, no, no. Lord, don't we need to be out doing drilling and sword fighting and learning how to build chariots? No, pay attention to my word and my ways and be holy as I want you to be holy. But if I don't have this, the world's not going to come to me. Now, simply take up the sword of the Spirit and trust me. But Lord, if I don't do this, do you see the message here? Be strong and courageous. Use the gospel I've given you. And so when we move from a physical war of Israel to a spiritual war of the church, oh yeah, the Israel of God, that's us, the church. What do we take? We take the craziness and the foolishness of His word to my neighbor, to my coworker, to the guy I meet at Hardee's, to the anybody. What are you talking about? That's a, book. Well, let me tell you about God's word and the character of my God.
Oh, that's craziness.
Yep, it is. But I'm going to be strong and courageous, and I'm going to have faith in it. And that's the point, that we are to use God's word. We don't need chariots. We don't need horses. We don't need these other things. The only thing we need is the sword of the Spirit. And we'll pick up that in a whole lot of other narratives in Joshua. Lastly, verse 9. Just in case Joshua is forgetting it. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How many of you have faith in God's promises? We don't need to be frightened or dismayed. It's tough in this world. I looked at the TV this week at the people in Bahamas. I just don't get that. 48 hours of, 185, 220 mile an hour winds, nothing stands. But we need to have faith in the God who is. And we need to remember that we, being people of the new covenant, we don't have to be frightened because we have the super Joshua, if you allow me that. Who's that? Jesus. He is the ultimate fulfillment of Joshua's type. And do you remember what Jesus said? The same basic words. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and he said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And this is the same thing that God is telling Joshua. And behold, remember what Jesus says? "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So when you don't feel like being strong and courageous, who's with you? Jesus is. It was a done deal at Calvary. It was completed. It was finished. All I have to do is walk in and take the inheritance. He already accomplished it for me. It's done. And so we have the ultimate promise fulfilled in Jesus that we're going to see unpacked in story form in the Old Covenant. But remember, these are simply but movie trailers for Jesus. And that's what matters. And so, to remind you, we don't fight a physical war like in Joshua's day. Those who have taken this book and said, go out there and slay the infidel. Well, you're going to slay them with the word of God. That's the end of it right there. No blood. We're going to come to the table here momentarily. We don't sacrifice animals, do we? It's a bloodless celebration that God has given to us. It's the fruit of the vine that reminds us that Jesus shed his blood once for all. It's done. It's complete. It's fulfilled. And so all I need to do is be strong and courageous and take up my physical, my spiritual sword of the Spirit and walk in that. Be strong and courageous. And so as we come to the table, be reminded that this is a physical reminder of God's spiritual promises. This is the intangible made tangible because God gets it. You're a little weak. Some of you are not the brightest bulbs in the box. Some of you are real bright. But by touching and tasting and taking these things by faith, we are strengthened again. We are reminded it is God who has delivered us through Jesus.